Hello, everyone. I'm Alfred, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi.
So, my clean date is August 27th, 2014, so I just celebrated my 5 years. I'm very grateful for that. My home group is Fellowship of the Spirit Big Book Study on Friday nights, because what's more fun than reading the big book on a Friday night, right? So, you know, I didn't always relate to myself as an alcoholic, and you'll hear that like throughout my story on what it is. But I used to kind of be embarrassed by my story, but there's something here in the big book that says, Henry Ford once made a wise remark to the effect that experience is the thing of supreme value in life. That is only true if one is willing to turn the past into good account. We grow by our willingness to face and rectify errors and convert them into assets. The alcoholic's past thus becomes the principal asset of the family and frequently is almost the only one. Right? So that tells me whatever I did in my past is an asset as long as I use it for the right, you know, use it for the good. And then actually just read the doctor's opinion last night, and this stuck out. It's funny how you could read the book a bunch of times and each time, like, I like really want to highlight, but I don't want to highlight because I don't want to get stuck on that same thing again. You know, I'd like to see the new things. But at the end of Dr. Silksworth's thing here, it says, you may rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves. That's a pretty bold statement for a bunch of alcoholics. You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't know. Growing up, I guess I, you know, looking back, it all boils down to like probably a low self-esteem and not feeling accepted, right? You know, so I like to party through high school, you know, and that's what I thought it was just partying and having a good time and fitting in and here we go, you know. Come to find out, coming out of high school, you know, a lot of my friends stopped hanging out with me. You know, started hanging out with a little bit older crowd, a little rougher crowd. And it, you know, it led to me getting in trouble with the law, believe it or not, you know. And at the time, I do H&I in the jail, and I'm super grateful for that. Because at the time, getting arrested was a moment of relief, right? You know, I used to have large resentments against the police. But really, they were saving my life every time I got arrested, you know. So, so I went through the phase of the court-mandated classes, you know, and I was doing that. And, you know, I've always been a huge justifier throughout my whole life. I could justify the heck out of anything. You know, I still have my truck and a skill saw, so I can make some money. You know, I don't have a problem. So here I am in a drug counseling group, and they're talking about honesty. And I said, well, if you want to hear anything about honesty, I've, you know, been using through this whole thing, and nobody's noticed. Hooray for me. I don't have a problem, right? And they say, sir, I think you need to go to rehab. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? And so the next day, I was in a rehab. And still having no idea that I even have a problem, you know. I kind of knew I had a problem. Most people weren't living their ways, but it hadn't clicked yet, right? It took a lot of years to make it click. So I'm in there, and they tell you to do a couple things. They tell you not to get in a relationship, not to go back to old people. Here's the big book, and go to meetings, get a sponsor, work the steps, you know. So it was a co-ed rehab, so I got in a relationship. And I went right back to the same house that I lived in before. And I didn't go to meetings, and I didn't work the steps. There was one, it's kind of interesting. The very first chair that I heard that was AA was an H&I meeting in the rehab. And the lady was talking about how she had no idea she was an alcoholic. She always did heroin for a long time, quit, and then started to drink. You know, this is the very first meeting I've ever heard. And that's how she realized she was an alcoholic. In Bill's story, how it talks about whether you die by musket or die by pot, the ominous warning, that was really mine, because holy moly, if that's not my story, you know, in a nutshell. So Yeah, just the willingness wasn't there. I went to an AA meeting. It was a men's group. It's a pretty aggressive men's group. We go there, and this guy's like, hey, let's go do 1, 2, and 3 in the parking lot right now. We'll get you going on step 4. I was out of there. So long story short, that didn't work out. I ran into my counselor at a gas station. I was at that place, the jumping off place, and he was able to get me back into the house if I followed some of his suggestions, you know. And one of them was actually moving to Placerville. I grew up in Nevada County, so moving to Placerville, it was to go until Progress House opened up a house. I'm a carpenter, so they let me fix up the tea house as payment for the rent. So I did that. I came down. I came down, worked in the house, found a AA meeting, went there, saw somebody with 23 years and asked him to be my sponsor. You know, I'm going to do this right. We're going to get it done, you know. He told me to read the book, so I read the book. Didn't understand anything in the book until we started working the steps. And I was like, oh, that's in there? You know, it's crazy. Third step prayer is actually, like, it's written right there. It's amazing. So, you know, I'm going through the steps and I'm doing it. I'm 24 at the time. Mind you, at this point, I was never really too much of a drinker. My focus was always more towards narcotics at the time. So, but I went to AA because I knew there's good recovery there, right? There's good recovery in AA. And I start going through the steps, and my fourth step, you know, was pretty weak. It was like, oh, I don't really resent anybody. It's all good. We're good. You know, oh, never mind about that. You know, it was clear directions on the sixth step to go home and sit for an hour quietly. You know, I went home and set the book on the shelf, and, you know, so I thought I was being willing. The moral of my story through my whole life is that I've been lying to myself mostly more than anybody else, you know. So I went and I started making my amends. And my amends, my idea of an amends was I was going to call the creditors and tell them, I'm going to pay you this or you're never going to hear from me again. And then there's the ones that I knew I had to make, but I wasn't going to make them. And I lived with that for quite some time. So that brings me to, you know, it's a good idea to go to a bachelor party for my cousin in Reno. And, you know, these are my half measures years. Half measures availed me nothing. You know, I've heard the beginning of that so many times, but now it actually means something. Decide to, you know, there I am with a drink in my hand, and I look up, and there's somebody from the Thursday night Placerville AA men's meeting standing right there, you know, and I was like, oh boy. And, And at the meeting, I saw him, and he said, hey, I noticed you didn't announce yourself as a newcomer. And I said, well, nothing happened. That was just a soda, right? And he says, you know what? I'm not going to say anything to anybody, but you're doing nothing but hurting yourself. All I heard out of that was, it's all good, right? That's literally, and I continue to go to AA and lie about my clean date. And I did that for quite some time, and I was never honest about it. And then this kid asked me to sponsor him, and I'm going through the steps, and I'm talking to him about honesty, and I have that nagging thing in the back of my head that I'm not being honest, right? And now I'm sitting there going, God's not working, AA's not working, this is all BS. I might as well go drink, because I did that one time, and that I never really did that before. It'll be okay, right? So that's when I decided to justify that. So I went on to justify that, like any good alcoholic, you know, as long as I stay off the narcotics, it's all right. And I'll just drink. I think it was even as ridiculous as I'll just drink on the 3-day weekends, right? And then it was just on the weekends, and then just a little bit after work, and then just a little bit before work, and then, you know, all day long like we do. The thing about my half measures years is it planted a pretty deep seed in there. I knew there was a better life, you know, and it really messed me up. It got to the point that I was resentfully drinking by myself in my barn. You know what I mean? Either knowing that I had to drink myself to death or go back to AA. Because I wasn't going to go drive because I'm sick of the police, you know? So that's what I did, trying to blot out my intolerable situation. But I'm super grateful for that today, because that got me to my incomprehensible demoralization, right? That's when it got me to the point of actually the day that it clicked that the alcohol has never been the problem. Alfred has been the problem. The alcohol is the solution to my problem. It sounds so simple, and I've heard people say it over and over, you know, but it's like one of those things. Until I did it myself, it was, I didn't get it, right? I didn't get it. So I struggled for a minute, you know. I knew that it had to happen, you know, and I had a choice. And God willing, I made, you know, it was all God, really. I made the right choice. I could have went straight to a meeting or go home and drink that day. And I went straight to a meeting, you know, and got back into it. This time it was under a whole new light, you know. A guy actually that's in this room was like, "Hey, you're back. Let's go do 1, 2, 3 in the parking lot." And I was like, "Okay, let's go," you know. And I went out and held hands with a couple other guys in a parking lot and got down on my knees and did 1, 2, 3. And he said, "Okay, now go get yourself a sponsor," you know. And from my previous years, the sponsor that I picked, he was talking, and he had this certain calmness to his voice, a calmness that I couldn't describe, a calmness that I hadn't felt for a long time. You know, to kind of back up, like my half measures years, I did a lot of things, you know, and I did a lot of getting the things back, right? I started a family during my half measures years, you know, that was on the rocks during my incomprehensible demoralization, but, you know, got a house, and I was actually doing pretty successful, making the most money I ever had, and that was one of the justifications that I had, you know, when I was resentfully drinking by myself. I'm doing great, you know. My grass is this tall in the yard, and the house is falling apart, and the kids are crying, and my wife wants to leave, but it's good, you know. But fast forward again. Sorry, I had to share that, because it's back to my justifying. You know, I make fun of myself. I call myself a high bottom drunk this time because I just lost my mind, not anything else. So, and I've always been pro working through the steps in a rigorous action directly out of the book, you know, and I knew this guy would do that. So we went through the steps, and we did 1, 2, 3, and got onto the fourth step. And by this time, I was 34, I started to know what some good deep-seated hate resentments were, you know what I mean? I had some good stuff to put down this time. You know, some of the amends, you know, the fears were real, because I had a family now, you know, the fears were real, the crippling fear that goes along with that. And I've used, you know, woe is me, I'm a sole provider for a long time as an excuse, you know. So I went back in there, started the fourth step, really got in there, you know, fifth step, went in, and, you know, the fifth step, it's never really been a big deal to me, you know, because I've done some things, but I know that everybody's done things too, you know, so to me, like, the fifth step is I could sit there and write out my fourth step, and I won't see any pattern whatsoever until I start reading it out loud. And I'm reading it out loud, and it's like, psh, smack to the face. Hey, selfish and self-centered, selfish and self-centered. There it is, you know. That everything that I've done in my life has been around selfish and self-centeredness. You know, six, actually went home and meditated on six and made sure that it was honest fourth and fifth step. Like, really, really did it. Seven asked him to remove my shortcomings. That's something that that's kind of goes on a continual basis. And then the amends. The amends is when I really started having a spiritual awakening, right? I've always kind of believed in a power greater than myself, and everything kind of happens in the reason for in the universe. But I never truly like felt it inside, you know. But you know, the third step, you know, I went through it, and it feels good doing the third step, but it really started to materialize, I guess you'd say. It really started to come true in the ninth step. I went and made the amends that I didn't make from my half measures years from a long time ago. And, you know, it's always the, oh, you know, they're going to shoot me, I'm going to catch another case, all this bad stuff's going to happen. So I really like to share on this amends, though. There's a music store that I had stolen from, and I had come to the realization that she was just a nice lady trying to run a business, you know, and some a-hole kid was in there stuffing drum cymbals down his pants and walking out, you know. So my wife's driving me up there, and she says, well, how do you know she still owns the place? And I said, you know, I just know, you know, I have faith, right? I have faith. She's going to be there. So then we go in and we pull in the parking lot, and actually right across the street from this place is the police department. And she jokes around. She says, well, if it goes sideways, I know where to pick you up. You know, so I go in there. I get on my knees. I pray on the street corner, and I go in there, and there she is. She's standing there, you know, she's a little short lady and stuff, and I say, and this is, man, we're talking like 14, 15 years down the road, you know, and I go in there, and there she is standing there, and I say, you know, I have something to make right with you, and she, like, she's holding my hands across the counter, and I make the amends, and she's crying, and she's like, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. That'll be $150. Right? You know, and I'm perfectly okay with that today, you know? Like, it really was, you know, I walked out of there, you know, this high off the ground, just like, wow, you know, nothing bad happened, it was all good. You know, a lot of the friends that I made amends to, a couple of them, you know, didn't go as I thought they should, but I cleaned up my side of the street, and that's what it is, you know? And that's when I really started to feel the power of the Spirit. Continue to take personal inventory. I try to do this more so on a regular basis now. I went on a hiatus for a while, you know. I worked the steps really quick in the first, you know, within the first 60 days of first coming in, then I was kind of just doing a tenth step whenever I felt funny, you know. And that wasn't cutting the cheese, you know. I started to have negative self-talk, you know, not necessarily wanting to drink, but just a little bit of like, this sucks, you know. No more like thank you God when I wake up in the morning, and it just started to go away. So that's when I decided to get with JR and get back at it. So sought through prayer and meditation. Try to practice that on a regular basis, you know, prayer, the meditation, listening for the answers, that's something that I'm always working with, you know, because I'm a little thick-headed, I'll be honest. And then having had a spiritual awakening, I like that a lot. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. Like I said, I do the H&I in the jail, and a lot of times, I think there's like a misconception about a spiritual awakening. Everybody wants like this huge thing to happen and all this stuff. And I just boil it down to the fact that I wake up and don't have the obsession to drink today. If that's not a spiritual awakening, I don't know what is, you know, I don't know what is. So it's pretty amazing. So, you know, with that, working with others, working with others is the footwork to how I keep in fit spiritual condition. I work on myself, you know, and I get some out of that, but really it's the whole triangle, right? I got to be of service, and I got to work with others, and that's truly when I feel the presence of God, and my prayers mean something, and everything's just more wholesome with that. it still blows my mind when somebody comes into a meeting and asks me to sponsor them. You know, I'm like, what, me, what, huh? You know, but it's a miracle when somebody comes in and they've had that gift of desperation as well, and they're not trying to get anything back. They're just trying to get their sanity back. And they, you know, they put their head down and they do the work and they're calling me. I don't have to call them and they're getting it done. And then all of a sudden the stuff in life starts happening, you know, and it starts happening and they look up and they're like, whoa, when did it get so good? And it's like, you've been doing the right thing. You've been, you know, being part one with God, and that's what happens, you know? So that's how I get a lot of my spirituality today, is just through working with others. You know, so back to the negative self-talk, you know. So it was actually in this meeting when I heard it in last year, and it was like, if somebody's suffering, you know, reach out and say something. There's a whole room full of people here that'll help, you know. And I was like, at the time I was screaming in my head, just say something, and I didn't say it. And God willing, I did say something. It took me a day to do it, but I did say something, you know. And for that, I'm grateful that the hand of AA is always here, you know. On that note, I always like to I like for the hand of AA always to be there for whoever I can help as well. You know, I'm always willing to help. I think if I talk anymore, I'll start to lie. So I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you.